this week on Grape Encounters Radio.
I love you for trying. I love you spent the money on me, but sorry, this tastes better. I'm going to go with what tastes better. I don't care about price.
And she's married. You are married, and you are not.
Yes. I'm totally
and now, transmitting our signal to wine lovers of the world from our Atascadero Wine Cellar Studio in the heart of the Central Coast wine country of San Luis Obispo County, California. We bring you Grape Encounters with David Wilson.
Peel me a grape, crush me some ice, skin me a peach, save the fuzz for my pillow.
Ah, and it is time for your weekly Grape Encounter, and this is a very special edition of Grape Encounters as we come to you from my favorite wine event in the known universe, Savor the Central Coast. It is at Santa Margarita Ranch. It's the home of Ancient Peaks Vineyards. It is a ginormous event put on by Sunset Magazine and Visit San Luis Obispo County. Of course, San Luis Obispo County is the home of the Paso Robles Wine Region, last year named the Wine Region of the Year by Wine Enthusiast Magazine. And if you've been listening to Grape Encounters over the past month or so, then you know that we've had a contest going on. And the contest was, if you can tell us why you want to come to Savor the Central Coast and why you want to be on the radio, not just with David Wilson, but the biggie is to be on with the esteemed wine editor of Sunset Magazine, the one and only Sarah Schneider, my favorite woman in wine. And well, actually, any woman that's in wine isn't bad. Sarah, welcome.
Thank you, David. Boy, you are good with the setups. It's no pressure in that setup.
I'm going to tell you what, Sarah. You have been set up today in a very big way because you didn't know what we were going to be doing for this particular episode.
I did not. I'm coming in cold here. And by the looks of it, I think that I'm going to be put on the spot a little bit. Maybe we all are.
Yeah, like every show that you're ever on. Now, first of all, let me set the stage for a second. We're in the media tent here. There are thousands of people that are arriving to the event right now. There are just, I don't know, how many wineries are actually participating at this event?
I think we have over 100 this year.
Over 100 wineries, and from all over the country, actually.
They are, mostly from the Central Coast, from Santa Barbara County up through San Luis Obispo County, including Paso, and up to Monterey. But we have visitors in from Oregon and Washington because we're also pouring a lot of our competition winners, the Sunset International Wine Competition, medal winners.
Which so is, we by do the way, have... you're very picky about that wine competition, and you have had less than kind words to say about other wine competitions. Well, it's true, Sarah, because some of them, you know, it's about just giving out medals.
I'm partial, but it is true that not all competitions are created equal. There are some where 80% of the wines win medals. And for us, that's not true. Winning a medal actually means something.
I actually drank my first homemade wine last night that I made, and I think it's going to win a medal, but it'll probably be lead. get that lead poisoning.
I should sneak it into our competition next year.
It may be in one of these bottles that's in front of you.
But before
we get any further, so let's introduce the guests that we have here. And I just want to introduce you and then have you tell me why you wanted to be on the show today. And let's start with Kellyanne Rowe.
Hi, I'm Kellyanne Rowe, and I live here locally on the Central Coast. And I wanted to be part of this event, not just because there's wine and the whole atmosphere, but it really is a reflection of the industry itself. We get to see everything, and it's a lot of people think, oh, Savor's just about California, and to some extent it is, but you really do see a reflection, and it shows all the way from the farmer to the distributor. You see all the steps in farm to table being in my hand, completely full circle. I love it. It's not just coming and seeing wine and tasting. It's more than that. It's learning more about your wine and where your food and wine is coming from. That's what Savor's about to me.
Kellyanne, that was eloquent. And I actually, what you just said is exactly why Sunset wanted to do this event here and not in another wine region. We considered a lot of places, but we really wanted to plant it on the Central Coast because of that farm-to-table authenticity.
Looked to me a little bit like somebody wants Sarah Schneider's job eventually. did you kind of get that sensation there?
I don't have too many more years before retirement.
I saw you get goosebumps.
Oh, I'm a teacher.
But let's move on to our next guest, which is Verilyn Parker.
Hi. Now, I can't believe you had me go after Kellyanne, who is so eloquent, and I'm sitting here as such a novice. I mean, my husband told me to say that if I didn't know the answer to anything, to just say, I'm here to learn. So, I am here to learn, but I have a lot of the same things that she said, which is I want to see the local culture, see where our wines are coming from. I love the local food scene here. I don't come from a wine background at all. My family doesn't really drink wine, but we love good food. So now I'm at the, we can kind of combine those two things, and I'm finding it really enjoyable.
They go hand in hand. You just have to realize it.
Absolutely. And you brought a guest with you because each of you were able to bring a guest. And
yes.
I guess Kellyanne's guest flew the coop, too afraid to be on the radio.
But it's okay. We're all friends now.
Let's move on to Deja, Deja Moore.
And I just came with Marilyn. I'm actually moving to Germany in January. So I thought this would be a great opportunity to spend some best friend time because she's been my best friend for 10 years now. And I wanted to see more about wine. I don't come from a wine background either, like she said, but I thought it'd be a great opportunity. I did grow up more agriculture. I was in FFA. So I know a lot more about like farming and that kind of stuff, but I don't know after that part where necessarily anything goes. So definitely more to learn about the different wines, get more into it. I know I grew up more in a scene where hard alcohol was the preference, but
we all did that.
I know, but definitely want to see the more elegant side of things and, you know, learn some more about wine and see where it comes from and that kind of stuff.
How do you like it? She wanted to see elegant, so she's with us.
We need to. I'm just really interested that in the fact that we don't have a lot of people who grew up around wine, and I can relate to that. That I grew up in a teetotaling household. Maybe that's why I love what I do now.
Now, by the way, that screech in the background is a train. Believe it or not, the Disneyland Railroad has been moved to this site just for this event today. No, it's actually permanently lives here, and we are sitting next to a mission building that was built by Father Junipero Serra, who was really one of the key figures in helping the wine movement to begin in the state of California. And they tried to tear this building down, but actually they weren't successful, so they built a barn over the top of it. And it's a spectacular site. And where we're sitting, it's a 360-degree view of wine country and spectacular. But I think it's interesting that we have all millennials this time.
I do, too. I love it.
We just have to talk to old people, old grizzly people.
Like our peers.
Yeah. So let's begin right now. What we're going to do today is we've got wines. I randomly selected them, and I want you to know I paid very little for them in the grand scheme of things, although some of them are wines up in the $40, $50, $60 range. I've got one bottle of wine here I paid $2.39 for, I'm proud to say. And so we've got them all in jute bags. So what we're going to do is I want you each to take a sip. But the first thing I want to ask you is, because you weren't introduced to wine as you were growing up, do you find yourself more open-minded when it comes to what you drink and you're not as inclined to drink the big nine, which are, you know, things like Cabernet and Merlot and Chardonnay and all of those?
I would agree with that. I feel like I'm more open-minded with my wine because of that. If I drink it and I like the way it tastes, then I'm going to keep drinking it. If it costs $2.39 or if it costs $60, I'm just not going to buy that bottle as often. I'll just save it for the special occasions because that's my preference.
So are you telling me that price does not impress?
Not always.
You're married or single?
I'm engaged.
If your fiance brought a bottle and he said, this bottle cost me $200, and there was another bottle sitting on the table that you had started with, and you really liked that one, and you didn't like the $200 bottle as much, would you tell him?
Oh, no.
Oh, I would totally
I would love that bottle.
Totally tell him.
No,
like, sorry. I love you for trying. I love you spent the money on me, but sorry, this tastes better. I'm going to go with what tastes better. I don't care about price.
And she's married.
I'm married.
You are married, and you are not yet.
I'm totally
How about you, Verlyn?
Oh, I don't know. I think, are you asking the $200 question?
I'm asking the $200 question.
Oh, my goodness. For the $200 question, I don't think I would tell him. I think I would drink it.
I would drink both. And it wouldn't matter.
And let him be happy.
Okay. All right. Let's all take a sip then now.
Okay,
and
we're
going to take a break in just a second, and I'm going to give you a little time to contemplate this. So, Sarah, do you want to just instruct them on what they should be doing at this point in time?
Enjoying your wine.
You know what? No. just sipping and sipping.
Okay. Hopefully you have a glass. You do have glasses big enough to swirl like this. That releases the aromas. Give it a good swirl. Stick your nose all the way into it. Take several short, sharp sniffs rather than one long sniff. You actually get a little bit more that way. And smelling is the aromas are so much a part of what that wine is all about. Smelling is way more than tasting when it comes to the wine. So those are the aromas. aromas should actually be followed up when you taste the wine by flavors that match up and make sense there. And when you do taste it, take a sip, keep it in your mouth for 3 or 4 seconds, because it actually takes that long for it to penetrate taste buds in there. So that's when you would get the most.
All right. So you guys are going to do that. We're going to take a break for just a second. We are bringing you a very special edition of Grape Encounters Radio. Of course, my favorite sidekick, my only sidekick, actually.
Oh, that's so good to hear.
Sarah Schneider, wine editor of Sunset Magazine. And by the way, long before I ever met Sarah, long before she was ever on this show, she was one of the people on this planet that I have respected the most in the world of wine, because she tells it like it is. She, by the way, doesn't care about the price. She cares about the wine and the experience. She is epitome of what a true unpretentious wine lover should be. But also with us today, we have Deja Moore, we have Verilyn Parker and Kellyanne Rowe, who are winners of the Why I Want to Be on Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson and Sarah Schneider. And so they're taking their sips now. We'll just take a little bit of a breather as you let your wine breathe, and we'll come back with a special edition in just a second. So don't go anywhere unless you're coming to join us.
Party dolls and wine, oh, drink and let the good times roll.
All right, back with Grape Encounters Radio, doing a blind tasting with three millennials, one perfectly aged Sarah Schneider, and one over-the-hill David Wilson. We are not saying anything about these wines. They could be from any part of the world. They could be at any price range. And now I think I'm going to pick on Verilyn first.
Oh, dear.
That's because you're the most easily intimidated.
What? That's not true.
Do you like the wine?
Yes, I like it very much.
You like it very much?
Yes.
So you could just drink this all day instead of walking around. How about you? Deja.
I really like it. I'm not a fan of red wines usually, but this one.
Well, you're in trouble for the next little while.
Oh, well, yeah. That's okay, because I'm more of a fan of the sweet wines. I don't really like the bitterness. This one is a little bitter, but it's not super overpowering where I feel like it's just lasting on my palate.
And then we'll go to Miss Kellyanne.
And see, I feel the opposite. I feel that when I drink it, I have that bitterness at the end and it does stay on my palate, and I don't like that at all.
So this wine...
This is just not the wine for me. That's wine, all.
And that's okay, by the way.
It's a hit and miss situation, and today it was a miss with this particular wine. The next one may be phenomenal.
And I'm going to turn to our resident expert. And what do you think about this wine, honestly?
I think on the nose, it actually has this earthy, wet loam quality, almost wet tobacco leaf kind of a thing that makes it, I'm thinking maybe it's not even New World. Maybe it's an Old World wine.
Okay. But, any guesses? Is this wine from California? Is it from somewhere else in the U.S.? Is it from someplace in Europe? Really quick guess. What would you say?
I'm going to say that it's not from here.
I'm going to say it's from California.
I'm
going to say it's from California.
And Sarah, what are you going to say? Well, you already said you think it's Old World. Want to pick an Old World location? you get this one, and I'm going to just bow down.
I'm not going to get it, but I'm going to go out on a limb here. This is reminding me of a Spanish reds. I would almost say Spain.
Sound the alarms, ladies and gentlemen.
I got it.
It's a 2011 Jerez Cordon Rioja. And let me just tell you that this wine is a pretty decent wine, actually. As Spanish wines go, this wine actually retails for $29.99. And that's it. And that, in the grand scheme of things, is...
That's a nice wine.
That's a nice wine. Yeah. Now, what I also want to tell you is that I paid for this wine $14.99.
You must know some people.
I know. I get the industry discount, but it just goes to show you that you can actually, you know, get some really decent wines. And I didn't give my opinion on it, but I really like this wine a lot, and I could drink this wine all day. I think as Sarah said, it's a Old World style wine, only 13% alcohol on this wine. You hit it right on the nose. You are a goddess, Sarah Schneider.
This is why we have to call her ma'am.
That's why you have to call her ma'am. All right, so all in all, I think that was really, you guys did a great job, I think, and I think actually your perceptions of the wine was really very interesting. I should have asked you all what you thought it was worth in terms of price. We're going to do that on this next one. You all all now have the next wine in front of you, and let's just go ahead and quickly sip it in the interest of time. Let me ask you this, Kellyanne. You're drinking out of essentially a brown paper bag, really, a jute bag. How does this change everything in terms of tasting wine? How is this different? Because, I mean, obviously, you have no idea. This could be an expensive wine, a cheap wine. We've stripped away everything that you know about it, and now you're tasting wine, not, you know, in a very controlled environment, and it makes you, don't you think, a lot more objective about it?
Yes, I would agree with that. And usually when you go into a store, I mean, I'll speak for myself. I'm not going to speak for others, but when I go into a store, I see a wine label and I have my certain wines I love and like, and I know what to expect with that winery. So when you have the jute bag, you really don't know what's coming at you. And so you're like, oh, you really do become more open-minded. It's definitely worth doing at home with friends.
Sarah, don't you think this is a lesson for everybody that I think it would be so much smarter if everybody that was doing a dinner party just covered up the darn label.
It's true. It actually strips away the expectations, because you have that expectation when it's when you know the price and the label. This is exactly how we taste for our wine competition. We make it blind. The judges do not know how expensive the wine
is. But usually you do know. Tell me, Kellyanne, what you think of the wine very quickly.
I love it. I would totally drink this bottle. I like it.
Loves it. Now, I have a feeling that Deja, who does not like reds, is going to be a little more pleased with this wine.
I actually do like it. I'm really pleased. It's not bitter at all. I can actually taste more sweetness to it.
Yeah, that's what I get, is that fruit right up front on the palate. And it, by the way, doesn't mean that it's sweet. It means that it's got fruit. It could be dry as a bone, but when you get the flavor of the fruit up there up front, that's what sometimes converts sweet wine lovers into drier wine lovers. It isn't all about the sugar, is it, Sarah?
No, absolutely not. I think the sort of split in tasters is those who really are all about fruit. You just want that generous kind of hedonistic sort of hit. And those that actually have a taste for some of those secondary flavors, the espresso, the herbs, the spice, the pepper.
Okay, very quickly. Any ideas? First of all, is it domestic or is it foreign?
It's the California wines, my guess.
A ditto for me.
Anybody want to guess on the varietal?
It's not hitting a reference point in my head for a single varietal.
This is going to make a very important point when I tell you what it is. Anybody want to guess?
I don't have a clue.
No, you have no clue, but you just like it. Would you buy this wine?
If I had tasted it first. I'm a label snob.
And that's the importance of tasting it. If I told you that this was a $40 bottle of wine, would you feel that that was a fair value?
Yes.
Sarah?
No.
What would you put it at?
I think this wine is actually made to be simple and just one pure enjoyment layer. And probably I would put it at...
The train.
That was my answer.
Gosh, no. The train. Okay.
I would put this at, I'm going to go out on a limb here, under 15.
10? You broke a limb. It was, it's actually $22.99. This is a Chiara Zinfandel.
Okay, interesting.
Sold. Pure Central Coast. I like the wine, and I'll drink $15 wines like this all day long, but retail $22.99. I will tell you that I bought it on sale at $10.99. You're listening to Grape Encounters Radio with our winners of the Why I Want to Be on Grape Encounters and Take Over the Show and Boot Sarah and David Off contest. It's Kellyanne Rowe, Vera Lynn Parker, Deja Moore, and we'll have more wine in just one moment. With Grape Encounters Radio, and while we were on break here at Savor the Central Coast, where we have Sarah Schneider and our three winners of the Why I Want to Be on Grape Encounters Radio, we're tasting through a bunch of different wines. We're doing it in a jute bag, not a jute box. Anyway, we poured one wine and we were getting ready to go back on the air. Son of a gun, what was wrong with the wine, Sarah?
It was oxidized. Even the color was sort of amber brownish.
Yeah, I thought it was a tawny port for a second.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. When that happens, you go to a retail Taylor, like I did, buy a wine like that. Tell people what to do when that happens.
Take it back. Yeah.
Put the cork in it and take it back.
The retail shop doesn't want it out there because that's hurting their reputation, and the winery really doesn't want it out there because it's not necessarily their fault.
And a lot of people don't realize that the wine has turned, and therefore they are thinking that it's just terrible wine when it might have been a perfectly fine wine that somebody was driving a forklift, left a pallet of outside. Okay. So you got another wine in front of you. We're going to go through two wines really quick. I'm going to start this time with Deja.
Oh, I did not like this one at all.
But you're not a red wine lover, right?
I'm not. So, okay. So, I mean, I might not be a fair comparison, but it just was too bitter for me. It stayed on my palate way too long. I did not care for it.
All right. I'm coming to Sarah now.
Well, I think that's interesting because I saw some reactions to this wine before anybody actually even tasted it. So it was reactions to the smell, the nose on it. And it really does have, you could describe it as funky. There's a little farminess.
Farmy's not funky. We did a show in the middle of a manure field recently, and it just smelled great.
I bet you go hang out in that manure field. You let me know how you smell at the end of the day. I'll drink my wine.
And the emboldened Kellyanne is now, how do you feel about this wine?
I'm gonna pass.
Vera Lynn.
I liked it.
Okay,
it's
so
it's strong. I like the strong smell.
Oh, how about this?
Maybe not.
Okay.
Maybe it set me on the wrong tone at first, but I tried it.
So I'm gonna say that Deja wouldn't buy this wine at any price.
Not at any price, not even for a penny.
Kellyanne wouldn't pay a penny for it.
No, thank you.
Vera Lynn would spend how much for it?
$15.
And Sarah would do what?
On this one, I the funkiness that I talked about, I didn't mean it was flawed. I think this one is about earth and not about fruit. And so again, I'm thinking old world. But price, what would I pay for this? Little sip there. Not a lot. I think this is a fairly inexpensive import.
I'm going $7 on this.
Okay.
One. Okay. And import, you say?
That's my gut.
Imports or domestic, gang?
Import.
Import.
All right. It is from Chile.
Uh-huh.
And this wine retails for $11.95. However, I bought this wine for a whopping $2.99. So I think everybody had that one.
We were all right.
I had that one right. We're going to do one last one real quick, which is that number five. All right. We've got just a moment left. What we're doing is we're tasting through wines poured out of a jute bag. We're moving on to our last wine. I'm pretty excited about this last wine because it is, I don't know which one. Oh, I guess it's, I've got it in a plastic cup. How about that? Nothing but style. We are at the Santa Margarita Ranch on the Central Coast. It's Savor the Central Coast, one of the big wine events. Listen, there are a lot of wine events going on right now. They're going to start to thin out as the fall ends, but you really want to come to events like this. And next year, make sure you come out to Savor because it's worth a trip from any place on the planet to come to this, one of the granddaddies of wine festivals that goes on the coast of California. How about you are a red wine hater?
I'm not sure how to feel, honestly. I go back and forth. I like it, but then at times, when I was tasting it, I didn't care for it. It's like, this is the wine that has like put me off towards wine almost, because I don't have a feeling either way. Like, I don't like it, I don't not like it. So it's one of those wines that I'm unsure of how I feel about it, if that makes sense to anyone.
What if I told you the name of this wine is called Ambivalence?
That would make perfect sense.
Yeah. Who loves this wine?
Whatever you can do. Yeah, yeah.
I'm with you, okay? That hand, you know they can't see the hand on the radio, just so you know.
I just realized that. Thank you, Dave.
Vera Lynn's raising her hand here. I guess I'm supposed to... You're a teacher, right?
No, I'm not. Kellyanne.
Oh, Kellyanne's a teacher. Okay. Well, you should have called on her then.
Yes.
Again, the Disneyland train trying to disrupt our show.
Always.
What do you think, Kellyanne?
I like it. I don't know if I necessarily want to buy a bottle of it, but if someone brings it to the house, then I'm going to cork it and pour it. It's going to be good with my meal, with dinner.
All right. Sarah, I know you got to run off to do a seminar. So the final parting words from Sarah Schneider.
My parting words on this one, I think, would be that it is about a rush of generic red fruit. I find it to be a little bit of a generic wine.
Generic wine. What would you pay for this generic wine? A generic price?
$3.50.
Wow. Oh, no.
Did you get ripped off?
So, really? Wow. That's harsh. Okay. Any guesses as to the varietal, anybody? Would you pay more than $3.50 for it, Vera Lynn?
Yes, I would.
What would you pay for it?
$25.
What do you think you're drinking?
I have no idea. Maybe a...
Cabernet Sauvignon.
Cabernet Sauvignon would be correct. Would you have said that?
I would not have. I didn't recognize a lot of cab.
High fives.
There was a high five. You couldn't see that, but there was a high five.
Ah.
Familiar with this wine?
I am not.
Okay.
That's interesting.
It's Mosaic. It comes from the Alexander Valley of California.
Sonoma County. That's clearly not a 350 bottle.
It's not a 350 bottle. It's a $34.99 bottle.
I am so caught.
Sarah, you want to just tell them that you accidentally
red wine handed.
I dropped a digit. I really did.
You dropped a digit.
Save me here.
Okay. Sarah, you got to run, but any parting thoughts before you leave us?
Oh, I just love what you did here. The price-free tasting, I think, just gets right to the soul of a wine. That's great.
And I want to say in defense of Mosaic, because I've bought 5 cases of their wine and love a lot of the wines that I get from them. It's sometimes you have to put wine in context. We're tasting different varietals, out of order.
And might I say a plastic cup.
After a wine that had been oxidized and things like that. So there are a lot of variables that affect that whole wine drinking experience. And we're going to talk about that after Sarah leaves, because there are a few secrets that we have to keep from her. Sarah, thank you so much.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on for a special one.
One of the great events. And thank you for being a part of our show all the time, because I personally love having you on this show.
Oh, thanks,
and
David.
You bring so much to it. People say so much about it.
Thanks so much. And you guys, thanks too. This is really fun.
So can we do this all together?
All hail Sarah! All hail Sarah!
Oh, shucks. All right. I'm out of here.
Wine editor of Sunset Magazine going off into the sunset, as it were. So it's a fond send-off for Sarah. That was really good, by the way, the Sarah chant that we did. Isn't she amazing, gang?
She is. Totally
like
amazing.
It is, right? Yeah. If it tastes like a $3 bottle of wine, she's going to say that. And if it tastes like a $30 bottle of wine, she's going to say that too.
But she
never be embarrassed to say what you feel about wine is the lesson in all of this. And never be afraid to just like what you like, right?
That's true.
But I think, you know, slowing down and trying to understand why you like it is important. And remembering also that the environment that you're enjoying the wine in makes all the difference. We're sitting on lush green grass by a beautiful building under a tent, puffy clouds in the sky. Of course, you get to be with me. We've got good wine. You had some fabulous sliders a minute ago. It really sets the tone, doesn't it?
It does.
It's definitely an experience.
If you were at home in your kitchen with the fluorescent lights on and had a rough day, kindergartner kept stomping on your toe, right, Kellyanne?
Yeah, we'll say that.
And your fiance's in a bad mood, right?
We'll say that.
How good is the wine?
It tastes even better. And I usually... the varietal tastes even better.
I wasn't going there with that. Tell me some of the things that you guys, as you discover wines, the things that you like, and we'll have a few comments on each of those. Kind of go around the table and tell me what you're drinking and what you're liking and where you're going in your wine life.
I love it. Where I'm going in my wine life. When I first started drinking wine, it was only whites. I wouldn't drink reds. I didn't like any of them. And it really took my friends constantly shoving it in my face, saying, try this, try this, try this. And I finally got to the point where I was like, oh my gosh, this is fantastic. I found a red I liked. I tend to like blends, I've noticed. And I do like a Cabernet here and there. But for the most part, I do a blend. I don't just do a Merlot. I just don't do a Cabernet all the time. I really do like a blend, a red blend, or any white I will drink.
Well, young lady, way back before you were born, okay, they didn't have them things called blends, you know? They really didn't. I mean, there weren't very many. They were blending in Bordeaux. That's for sure. But they weren't doing much blending out here because it was sort of, you know, just something that nobody really thought about. And now it's very interesting with the sort of Starbucks culture that we live in, where you walk in to a coffee house and they're, why are you laughing at this?
We all know Starbucks, David.
Well, yeah, we love the Starbucks.
I'm going to give you a Starbucks wine analogy, okay? What happens when you, okay, here's a little quiz for you. All right, Carolyn?
I'm ready.
Since you just pointed out that you know Starbucks. The millennials made Starbucks what it is today. Let's face that. So what happens when you walk into a Starbucks and you watch the people in line? What is the one thing that you observe?
They're looking at their phones.
All right, that's one thing. What's the other thing that you observe? Anybody want to take a stab at this one?
There's a long line, and it's a build-your-own. It's build-your-own drink, and that's how our wine's becoming in our industry. Also, you can find something where it's almost you find your own blend, or make your own blend is what we're seeing a lot of people getting into.
All right, tell me about that.
I just know I don't mean to go so local about it, but because of our area, we see people that are starting to pop up with their own winemaking, and they're making their own wine. You just said yourself, you got to drink wine that you made. It's starting to happen. People are like, I think I can try this. I like this. I'll do more of this and make my wine taste better. And we're starting to see that. And we see it with craft beer, too. We're seeing it with wine.
Yeah. And do you think that there is anything wrong with if you were at home and let's say, Deja, for a second, you like things a little bit sweeter. You're married, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so your husband pours a red wine that's a little bit on the dry side. Would anybody find it offensive if she put a little sugar in that wine?
I would find it offensive.
You would find it offensive? Would you find it offensive?
Yes.
All right. What if she took a very fruity, fruit-forward Syrah or a Zinfandel and she mixed that in there? Would you find that offensive?
If she knew what she was doing.
Well, what does know what you're doing actually mean, though? That's
lots
the question.
Lots of experience testing, so I guess it would be fine.
What if she put it in there and she went, oh my gosh, this tastes so good. Would she know what she's doing?
Yes.
No.
I think so. It depends on personal preference.
So you're saying that even though you're...
Get rid of it.
So you're saying that even though your friend here puts two wines together... And she loves it that she doesn't know what she's doing, and so she has no right to drink that wine.
No, she can drink it, but I think it's a beautiful accident.
A beautiful accident.
It does not make her an expert.
Deja Moore, the beautiful accident.
Oh, yay.
She's beautiful on purpose.
All right. What about you?
I think it's fine. I just said I like a blend. If someone creates their own blend and it tastes great and I like it, I drink it.
All right. So how about this? When we come back, we're going to do a little experiment with the four of you. Are you ready for that?
Of course.
You want to stay with me for a few more minutes?
Of course.
You want to participate in a beautiful accident?
Let's do it.
Okay. I'm going to take care of you, okay? So stick with me. You're listening to Grape Encounters with David Wilson. We have our three guests on who won the Why I Want to Be on Grape Encounters as a guest co-host, Kellyanne Rowe, Verilyn Parker, and Deja Moore. And we'll continue with a very happy accident in just a moment from Savor the Central Coast on the Central Coast of California, where there is one big hoop-de-doo going on here. You guys ready to go do some wine drinking with me after the show?
You know we are.
Yes.
Awesome.
Connecting winemakers, wine lovers, wine adventures, and all things wine from around the globe. You are listening to Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson. While you're letting the wine breathe, Facebook us at facebook.com/Grape Encounters Radio.
Got an $8 bottle of wine.
And we're back in the home stretch of Grape Encounters Radio, coming to you from Savor the Central Coast. A gigantic wine and food extravaganza that is co-sponsored by Sunset Magazine, one of the two biggest lifestyle magazines in all of the U.S. of A. We had a contest, and the contest was, why do you want to be on Grape Encounters Radio as a guest co-host with me and Sarah Schneider? Or is it Sarah Schneider and me? Or is it Sarah Schneider and I, or I and me? I don't know.
Anyway,
you're the school teacher.
And I just corrected you.
Anyway, we have a school teacher, Kellyanne Rowe, Verilyn Parker. I never asked you what you do.
I'm a doula.
A what?
Nice.
A doula.
Explain to him what a doula is and everyone else who may not know.
I support women through pregnancy and through labor and delivery when they welcome their babies.
You're a surrogate mother?
Not a surrogate. I stand alongside the mother giving birth,
doula.
And I help her
don't
through it.
Sip that.
Busted,
what are you
Deja.
Doing? You can't do that yet.
I'm Deja sorry. Busted.
Right. I'm sorry.
Deja Moore is also... What do you do, Deja, besides break rules?
I'm sorry. I am actually in retail management. I work at Kohl's, yeah.
Well, you're hard to manage.
Yeah, I know. I like to manage truck people.
Okay, so listen up here. Here's what we did. Everybody, I noticed, had a little bit different taste, right?
Mm-hmm.
You
correct.
Didn't like some of the... Now, we already know you don't like the reds, and I didn't bring any whites. Sweet wines for you, although I could find a sweet red wine for you. We're going to go out in a little while and we're going to walk the grounds and I'm going to find the perfect wine for each one of you, okay?
Yes,
yay! Let's do it.
That's what we're going to do.
And that's why I wanted to be on the show.
I have taken all of the bottles of wine that we have on the a table, and I have reimagined wine for you. Now, Verilyn, you're going to have some problem with this exercise because I have mixed and matched in a very unscientific way, but I just did it so that you could see what it's like to actually adjust the wines just a little bit. So I'm going to start now with Kellyanne, and this is our home stretch of Grape Encounters, and we've been tasting wines out of jute bags. Jute bag, you can buy those at retail stores and places like that, or you can order them online, and it's a great way to throw a party because you use the excuse that you're educating people on wine. What you're really doing actually is pouring cheap wine and not letting them know it. Right, girls?
Why not? Yes.
Why not? And I want to make mention of the fact that all of my guests are winners are millennials. They're young and not jaded, right?
Not jaded, no.
Right now they're shooing away bees, which have become a major distraction, but they're just the meat bees. They just bite. They don't sting, okay? But they hurt like, you know what. So we're going to drink more wine. All right. So let's start with you, Kellyanne. I customized a wine that I thought actually you would like and I would like. So yours and mine is the same. Verilyn's is different and Deja's is even more different. Tell me how close we came, and also tell me if you think that, and don't say this just for my benefit, but tell me if you think the wine you're drinking now is really the best of what you've had today.
You don't have to worry. I won't do anything just for your benefit. I'm pretty straightforward.
I
do like it. It's on my palate. It hit nicely. It doesn't have a dry or bitter taste at the end. Some wines do that, and this one doesn't really do that as much. I love the flavor.
So I blended this for you and I because I ascertained that our tastes are the most similar. Okay, now we're going to move on to, and again, let me be really clear. I took 5 bottles of wine and mixed them in different proportions for everybody at the table just to see what would happen. It doesn't taste weird, does it?
Or no, strange? Not at all. I think it's something I could very easily do at home and try to ask my friends if they could tell what I mixed out of the 3 or out of the 5.
All right, you millennials are going to carry the ball for this one, okay? Verilyn, you're next, and I think I've got you dead on this one.
It's a beautiful accident. It is really good.
It is really good, isn't it? You know, I took the best of each of the wines that as I listened to you describe the wines that you liked, and I just put them together that way. And now we're going to move on to Deja, who's the fussiest of the bunch, and she likes sweet. We didn't have any sugar here, but I'm thinking that this is probably the best thing she's had all day.
This actually is the best thing I've had all day. It is very clean, and it's very more fruity, so not necessarily sweet, but I could definitely taste the fruit, so it's definitely more appealing to my palate.
Okay, so Verilyn, you have something you want to say to me?
No.
Okay, I mean, so what did you just learn? Seriously.
You know Deja better than I do.
You know Deja's wine.
Yeah, with my wife
better.
Standing over my shoulder, you would say something like that. No. If you knew Deja, like, anyway, no, seriously, see how the Starbucks analogy works with wine too?
Agreed.
That you can make little adjustments to wine, and why you're seeing blends and so many of them is because winemakers are fine-tuning to various tastes, but nothing really wrong, I think, with fine-tuning to your own taste, but you better know what you're doing. And if you can identify the characteristics in the wine that you really like, you really and truly like, and experiment a little bit with it, you'll have a whole lot of fun, and you'll actually enjoy your wine better. But one thing to remember is that if you're using 3 or 4 wines to blend at home, remember that wine has a very finite shelf life. So either throw a big party and find a way to use it all, right? Or
agreed.
Use some sort of preservation system like Private Preserve that you could squirt into the bottle and cork it, and it'll be fine for a prolonged period of time. Just keep doing it. Really want to do, though, is write down what you've done so you can replicate it. And anyway, yes, and in answer to what you were saying, Verilyn, it is a happy accident. But it's pretty easy to adjust wines to different tastes if you want to do that. I have a lot of winemakers now who are actually trying to find the feathers in the tar. Okay, any final thoughts from the 3 of you that you'd like to share before we go off the air?
I really think going to a wine festival or just a cooking festival is definitely an experience someone should do. I'm on the Central Coast, but that doesn't mean you have to come to the Central Coast. There's the East Coast. There's all over the United States. Wineries are starting to pop up everywhere that we're seeing, and there's wineries up and coming. And if there's festivals, you should really take advantage of it. You learn a lot, you taste a lot, and it's a great experience all around.
Deja?
That this was definitely an experience that I'd want to try again. I've never been to a festival like this, and since I am going going overseas to Europe, I think it would be really fun to go to France and Italy and all that and go to different type of wineries and stuff that I would don't think I would have ever have done if I didn't come to this festival, truthfully.
I'm going to ask you to do a little something today, okay?
Okay.
I want you to concentrate on red wines today because the wines that they're going to pour, and this is an important thing to remember at festivals, winemakers bring out the stuff that they think is going to play very well with the people who are going to drink it. So you're going to taste some good reds. I believe it's not that you don't like red. You've not had the red that you like.
Agreed.
And there's a big difference, okay? And I'm so proud to have had you on the show today. I'm glad you had a good time. Now, I would like to be your personal escort for a little while and take you around, and let's go have some fun.
Let's do it.
All right, that's going to do it for Grape Encounters this week. We will be back here next week. Do yourself a favor. Next week, instead of just bringing one good bottle of wine to the show, bring two or three, then have a lovely time blending wine as you listen to Grape Encounters, because we are the Maverick Wine Show, where we do things that are not permitted, but we do it anyway. That's going to do it. See you guys later.
You never know what part of the country or the world the Grape Encounters microphones will take you to. Don't miss a single experience. Your Grape Encounter isn't over. We're just taking a breather until next week's edition.